Okay, we've been in a Nehemiah series together. Great to see you, Alex. God bless you. Good to have you with us. Oh, and Hugh. Alex. Oh, Hugh, two Alexes there. Yeah, great. Wonderful. Let's look together. Nehemiah, the verses will come up on the screen there. We remember that the book of Nehemiah looks at the rebuilding of the walls and the gates in Jerusalem. Wall that was around the temple complex and the wall that was around the city itself and the gates that were replaced. And just as a city needed a wall to fortify it, so does the believer, so to speak, that there is a wall of defense in the believer's life, and it's the word of God. It's doctrine. It's knowing what God thinks about you. It's understanding the security of your salvation. It's knowing the promises and how to confess them and truth in the face of challenges and warfare that might come into your life. Imagine, we remember our key verse for that, like a city whose walls are broken down, so is a person who lacks self-control, Proverbs 25:28. What a picture that is of a believer's life. No wall. And where there's no wall, the enemy has easy access. When a temptation comes your way, there is no strength, no fortitude. You can't withstand it. When an accusation comes your way, oh, how wretched you are, there is no defense. And you receive that and you accept that and you become a victim instead of a victor. But when there is a wall of doctrine, when there is a defense in the believer's life according to the truth and the promises of God, we have such an incredible provision. And this is part of the work that God does in the Christian's life as a disciple. We are all on our path of discipleship, learning what the truth is and being able to have the wall built in our life. Just to reflect on a few principles that we've considered in this book. When you go forward by faith, expect opposition, right? When you make decisions of faith in your life as an individual or as a church, expect some opposition. Next, when opposition comes, let your first response be prayer. We see that in this book with Nehemiah, right? When the opposition came, this is the first orientation, not the last. Oh, I've tried everything else. Let's pray. No, the first orientation, looking to heaven. Next, opposition may come from within and it may come from without. And that's with the church. It may come from within the church. It may come from without the church. And also you personally, it may come from within your own heart and it may come from without. Next, you must listen to the right voice to be built up in faith. And this is part of warfare, spiritual warfare, learning to listen to the right voice. For there is a voice that would love to tear you down and hinder you and accuse you. And if you listen to that voice, it will have its effect. But we have learned and we are learning as Christians to listen to the voice of God, to listen to the promises that are spoken to us. Next, learn to think in truth against the enemy. That's a related thought, isn't it? But the word of God, a two-edged sword, is offensive, right? It's part of your weaponry as a believer, the two-edged sword. Next, continue in prayer, but also be ready for action. We'll explain that a bit further today. God can bring the enemy's plot to nothing. And then lastly, when the warfare subsides, be sure to return to the wall and keep building. We remember when we closed chapter 3, everything looked wonderful. There's the unity, the vision, they're building, but then comes the enemy. And we remember in chapter 4, verse 1, at the end of that verse, and they mocked the Jews. You know what that means? Imagine if you're running a race and on the sideline there are people and they are mocking you. Right? How that would affect you in your motivation and in your mind. And that's the picture here. These enemies mocking the Jews. Who do you think you are? You are weak. You have no right to be here. Right? Mocking their efforts and their decisions. We have an enemy who speaks in that way into a believer's life. the devil would love for you to begin to take on and develop a self-image that is based on your own successes or failures. But we have our identity in Christ and what God says about us. We have to learn to cast down certain thoughts in the disciplined mind of an athlete or a Christian. I'm not listening to that, but I am focused on the Lord and continuing in faith. And what Nehemiah does in his leadership and subsequently the people, he looks to heaven and he prays. Remember in verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised," etc. He brings Sanballat, the enemy, to the Lord. And we see this as a pattern throughout the book. When the opposition comes, when the trouble comes, Nehemiah looks to heaven. He prays to God and he asks God to work. Once again, we see in verse 6, "So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." So the wall around Jerusalem, I see a few people who are just nodding a little bit. Hello. We came here this morning to hear the Bible. Just pinch yourself, nudge your neighbor, right? This is why we came this morning, speaking of spiritual warfare. So the wall was built halfway. This is a key time when you're halfway in the work, because you could look at the work and be discouraged, it's only half finished, or you could have see the potential and continue and be purpose in your heart to the end. Keep the vision, go forwards, see the potential and your potential in the Lord. The enemy doesn't stop. After prayer and caution, the attacks do not stop. We see it dotted through the book. In verse 7, "Now it happened," and we see them multiply. And if you look at where these people are, now they are on every side, north, east, south, west. They are enemies from every side. Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and the heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored. They were angry. Verse 8, they conspired to come and attack and create confusion. Again, we see Nehemiah's orientation. "Nevertheless, we made prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them." Or in other words, we posted a guard against them day and night. And this is the wise, practical part of the Christian life. It's not that we just pray and then let it be. But we pray and also we take steps forwards, right? Someone says, "Oh, I'm praying for a job." Okay, you pray for a job, but you also have to look for a job, right? Now, God could bring it out of nowhere, but typically he's looking for steps of faith. Pray and trust me, but also be pushing at the door. "Oh, I pray for my family." Well, that's wonderful to pray for your family, but it also takes some work, some blood, sweat, and tears, some discipline, some challenges, right? In your marriage or raising children or teenagers, hello? It takes a little bit of work. So not just prayer, but also practically our hands are at the wall and we are working. In other words, don't pray, but post a guard, as it says here. We remember verse 10, 11, and 12. This is just review. There's a voice from within. Judah says we can't build the wall. There's a voice from without. The adversaries again bringing on the threats. And then we have those that are near the enemy who are hearing the enemy saying, "Listen, on every side, wherever you turn, the enemy is there." But Nehemiah takes all of this to be one step ahead of the enemy in verse 13. "Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with swords and spears and their bows." And again, we mentioned before that was probably unexpected. You didn't sign up for that. You weren't planning to be on the front line of warfare. Can you hold that for me a minute? Sure. Wait a minute. And before you know it, you're holding a sword and you have stand guard. You're on guard. And that's part of the Christian life. There is the battle and there are the building. And both are part of the Christian life. Nehemiah, discerning the need, speaks into the situation. He looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders and the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." We also are familiar with the term that God will fight for you, right? And here it says, you fight for your families. So both are in play here. Some things are really worth fighting for. And this was quite strategic of Nehemiah to have the families together guarding the wall at a certain place, because he really has something to fight for, not just the wall, but your very families as well. Verse 15. "And so it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work." So again, there may be or there will be, we think of the promises of God. This is in the promises of God that there will be some trouble, right? There will be trouble, but also at the end of it, when the warfare subsides, make sure you return to the wall. It's only half done. We need to continue. That would be part of the enemy's plan, that afterwards you don't return to the wall. But they return to the wall, everyone to his work. Verse 16, "And so it was from that time on." I love that phrase because it shows that Nehemiah had learned something. And we're all learning on the go, aren't we? We're learning as we go forwards. And Nehemiah had learned something about warfare. We see a change in his strategy, that there is some caution and prayer and activity that he implements. He says that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And this is Nehemiah's personal servants. He decides to divide them. Half of them are working at the wall and half of them are holding weapons and standing firm on the front line. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. What does that mean? I don't think it meant the leaders were hiding behind them. The leaders were behind them supporting them. Remember, it was Judah who was saying, "We can't build the wall." But now the leaders are behind them, supporting them, encouraging them, helping them, strengthening them. Verse 17, "Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand held a weapon." And that's a fantastic verse, isn't it? A tool in one hand, a weapon in the other. And in fact, Charles Spurgeon famously started that magazine for years, The Sword and the Trowel. And these describes, again, those elements of the Christian life, the building, so the battle. Verse 18, there, "Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me." So imagine that, you sense that, they're building, they have the focus, but then there's a keen awareness of the enemy, the threat, the potential at any time an attack could come. You can't drop your focus for a moment, for the enemy might come in where the wall is not finished, and you have to be prepared for that. And he doesn't always walk in with a sign saying, "I'm the enemy." You need to be discerning. You need to be aware it may come in many different forms to discourage you or to cause you to withdraw and to be affected accordingly. They had the sword at his side. Don't you love that picture? The girded with the sword. And again, the sword, speaking of the two-edged sword, the word of God in Ephesians 6, I think it's 17, 18. The word of God girded on the side. There's a verse in Song of Solomon 3:8. It says, "The valiant of Israel all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night." And that's a healthy fear. That's a fear of wisdom. That's not being familiar or careless or whatever happens. That's not someone who's just going through the motions of life. This is someone who is, well, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour." Right? This is being careful, being aware, being spirit-filled, being discerning, being in the faith. And perhaps the more wisdom and experience you have as a Christian soldier, the more you realize that, how important it is to have the sword girded and not to let your guard down. And notice that phrase there, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Do you remember the name for the one who would sound the trumpet in the Old Testament, in the Bible? What's he called? The watchman, right? The watchman on the wall. And this was his job. When you see the enemy coming, you know that brass thing or whatever, that horn that in your hand, it would have been a horn, right? You sound it as loud as you can. That's your responsibility. And there was a real stewardship with that, because if you didn't sound the horn when the enemy came, and there would be people who would suffer or be casualties because of that, he would be responsible. You may remember the passage in Ezekiel chapter 33. In verse 2, I'll read you the verses. Take a man and make him a watchman. And when he sees the sword coming on the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood is on his own head. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman does not blow the trumpet, he is responsible. So you, Ezekiel, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me. So, right, there's a literal, physical, historical picture of a watchman on the wall, but there's a spiritual application given to us in the Word of God that the watchman is the one who sounds the word, the one who is preaching and teaching the Bible, a pastor, if you will. In Hebrews 13:17, when it speaks of those with spiritual authority in the church who are teaching and preaching the word, it says, they watch for your souls. And that Greek word, watch, it means to be without sleep. It means to be awake. Awake to spiritual warfare and realities, as we all need to be. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? And the context there, of course, we know is the unknown tongue of Corinth at the time, and Paul is addressing that issue. But the point he's making is what's needed in the church is the clear sound of doctrine and healthy teaching in the church, teaching and preaching, so that when people hear it, they're able to prepare for warfare accordingly. How important that is. So the watchman on the wall is so instructive for us. Let's close out this morning. Just a few more verses. Verse 19 here. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated from one another on the wall. Now, we've looked at we studied what that means, that they are building around the wall, that whole circumference, right? And it would be easy to be separated. You're part of the same team, the same people. You're working at the same wall. But how easy it is to be separated on the wall. There's a danger in that. And Nehemiah recognizes it, that that's potentially a weakness, that you are separated at the wall. There needs to be a connection. We need, as Christians, to be able to rally together, to join together. And look at this next verse, verse 20. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and our God will fight for us. And I think just taking that watchman idea and the preaching of the word together, when the trumpet is sounded, speaking of the preaching of the word, this is the place and the opportunity we have to gather together. We are not to live a solo Christianity out there on our own, isolated like the Lone Ranger out there. No, we are to rally together. And we are to rally together where there is the preaching of the word and we hear it and we are equipped. And then we go out again and we are ministering and raising our families and building at the wall, etc. We are to rally together. How important that is, that I'm not isolated. And when I say that, you think of COVID. I'm not talking about COVID. But we're not to be isolated in the wrong sense, spiritually speaking, to be withdrawn and to be alone. In fact, the enemy, your enemy, the devil, your adversary would love that. whether it's caused by COVID or whatever it might be, that eventually you just become some isolated, withdrawn, alone Christian, and that is never remedied. There's a danger in that. There's a weakness in that. Oh, I don't need the church. I'm okay. Well, let's go to the Bible. The Bible says we need the fellowship. We need the preaching. We need one another. That there are gifts and portions in the body for one another, for the strength and for the work of God. So, wherever you are, hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us. Look at, there's the phrase, our God will fight for us. So those two truths, we fight for our families, God fights for us. Verse 21, so we labored in the work, half the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. That's quite a shift, isn't it? From daybreak until the stars appear. This is a crucial time. And at the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem. So typically, they would after the day's work, they would return to the suburbs, to the villages in the countryside or whatever. But he's saying, what, now is time we stay in Jerusalem. We sleep in Jerusalem. We close our eyes in Jerusalem, we open our eyes in Jerusalem, we're immediately where we need to be for the work and for the defense of the city. And verse 23, last verse. So neither I, my brethren or servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes. A few people woke up when we said that. We didn't take off our clothes except that everyone took them off for washing. Throws them in there. Hey, listen, we're not animals. We did our laundry. But the point is that we had a focus. We were so focused that we went to sleep in our clothes and we woke up ready to work, ready to fight at the wall in the plan of God. Oh, let's not sleep, but let's be awake to what God is doing and what the enemy would want to hinder. Amen?